Welcome to Byline. I'm Rick Howlett. Well, the final day of class at Jefferson County Public Schools was Wednesday, and we thought this would be a good place for us to kind of hit the reset button on education and JCPS, a lot of issues facing the district. Among them, Superintendent Donna Hargan's first year is coming to a close. The school board has begun her evaluation. There are also proposed changes being suggested to the elementary school assignment plan and other issues facing Kentucky's largest school system. Here to talk about it is Devin Katayama, who covers education for WFPL. Welcome, Devin.
Thanks, Rick. It's good to be here.
We're hoping to have Toni Kahns from the Courier-Journal, who is an education reporter, of course, for the newspaper, but she's had something come up in the newsroom and sends her regrets, and we hope to have her back again soon. Devin, let's start with the evaluation by the school board of Donna Hargan. Superintendent was hired, I guess, last August, right before the start of classes. Some of this is still being done in secret, right?
Yeah, and to be honest, it's hard to believe it's already been a year, right. but it is that time. Preliminary discussions are being done in executive session, which essentially just means privately. They can do this because in 2010, the state basically passed legislation saying that school districts should, in fact, conduct these preliminary conversations in private. Part of the thinking was behind that was that it would give them freedom to go through the process of evaluation without having a lot of public input. In some circumstances, there's a lot of controversies. The public wants to make a lot of comments. There might be a lot of questions that might delay the whole process. So this was the first. This week was the first meeting that they held. They will hold public meetings this month, and they expect to do that at the next board meeting. But this meeting was in private, and part of that is also. The Courier-Journal, a few years ago filed a lawsuit trying to get evaluation access from Sheldon Berman's mm-hmm. evaluation. They were unable to. Attorney General at the time did cite the JCPS and have them pay the attorney's fees for that court case. So in that instance, Courier-Journal was a little vindicated.
And there is some difference of opinion among board members as to whether all of this should be done in public or some of it behind closed
really
doors.
Well, really, Steve Imhoff is the one board member who voted 6-1 that this should be done in public. He was obviously outvoted, but he says he respects the consensus of the board. And a lot of board members say, basically that this is the state law, so this is why we're doing this. They can use that excuse now, but, if you asked them back when this was really controversial, it might have been a different story.
What seems to just your general feel? It seems to be the general consensus in the community and among us teachers and administrators on her job.
I get the sense that she's doing an all right job. As far as what board members have told me, as far as the her being introduced during a time when the student assignment plan was going on, all these changing assessments, I think the idea behind her strengths are really data driven. And that seems to be what a lot of people are turning towards in this age where we're kind of toying around with different educational policies and different educational assessments. So far, it seems like there hasn't been any really huge controversies. The only kind of controversial thing that came up this year was the hiring of Jamila Frazier as the chief communications, diversity, and community relations individual. Then it came out that Ms. Frazier was had a similar position under a controversial superintendent on the East Coast. Superintendent Hargan's did retract, or excuse me, Jamila Frazier did step down. And when Superintendent Hargan's was asked about it, she still stood by her decision, but she respected Frazier's decision to step down.
You mentioned the student assignment plan. Of course, this has been, for lack of a better term, evolving since the U.S. Supreme Court back in 2007 declared that that plan was unconstitutional. And another plan was put forth. There were complaints about long bus rides. And now there is another version of the plan being proposed, right?
Yeah, I mean, the elementary schools was approved for their plan earlier this year. That will be implemented next year. And just for a brief background, that plan will essentially still look at race, income, and educational attainment, but now it'll look at them within the smaller census blocks, and it'll recognize already existing diversity throughout the district, and it'll also include ESL students in those numbers and kindergarten students in those numbers. So that will be implemented this next school year. Because they were in somewhat of a rush to implement it for the elementary schools, and part of that was from the elementary showcase that was held earlier this year, parents mm-hmm. needed to know where their kids were going to go. They decided to take another look at it to see if they would want to implement any of the other recommendations that UCLA professor Gary Orfield, when he came to the district last year, he had a bunch of recommendations. They wanted to revisit those. So that's what they're in the process of, and they're still in discussions. But this week they looked at putting in a 13-cluster plan, which was Orfield's recommendation, for the 2013-2014 school year. And essentially what that means is that students will be – well, they'll have less choice, school choice, by about six schools. Right now, parents have about 13, 14 schools they could choose from in their clusters. 13 clusters would mean less school choice, about six or so. It'll also mean less transportation for some students.
And running parallel to all this, we're awaiting a decision from the Kentucky Supreme Court on the argument over whether state law, the interpretation of state law, whether when a student enrolls in a school gives that student the right to actually attend.
Right.
And this goes to the whole concept of neighborhood schools.
Right? Yeah, that'll actually be an interesting one to see. I'm surprised we haven't heard much on that in recent weeks. I was kind of guessing that it would come in a lot sooner.
Yeah.
But that'll be interesting to see what happens, because if they do rule that students have they're able to go to the school closest to their home, my guess is that they'll put in some kind of stipulation where maybe not for this next school year, but maybe future school years. So I'm not quite sure how they're going to act on that.
The school officials have said, well, not everybody can go to the school closest to their homes because we could just create
chaos. Right. They
say,
yeah, exactly. They say there's it's not even possible to implement
that. Well, not everyone would want to go to the school.
Exactly. In fact, a lot of when they did make the changes for the student assignment plan, the district haven't had a lot of comments saying that, mm-hmm. we don't like this plan, essentially.
Also, during the Donna Hargan's tenure, the short tenure, there's been a reshuffling of front office personnel. How's that been going?
Yeah, everybody's in place right now. They're even going further into that curriculum, the central office restaffing. And that was all part of the curriculum management audit, which the district commissioned, I want to say, 2 years ago, before last year. But it was conducted while Superintendent Hargan's was lead of the district. And that's basically essentially taking the central staff down from, a lot of jobs to a core few that are mm-hmm. just necessary. And what's happening, for example, in the office of the chief academic officer, Dewey Hensley, that is being divided up with itself to six assistant superintendents throughout the district. So there is still some hiring going on, even though they have condensed it. But that hiring is a lot more concentrated, and everybody on board knows what the mission is going forward. They know what the school wants to get out of those hires.
Well, I have you here. Let's go across the river to Clark County. This is somewhat related to JCPS mm-hmm. because Stephen Dashner was after he left JCPS, he went to Illinois and then came back here to run the Clark County schools. They didn't renew his contract and launched a search for a new superintendent. Where do we stand with that?
They have finished the second round of interviews for the candidates. They narrowed it down from 17 to 5 and then from 5 to 3. They won't name who they are. In fact, the people that are helping them oversee the hiring, which is a couple of universities and the school board association over there in Indiana, don't even want those three to be named. Initially, the board said that they would hold an open forum. Now that's a little more questionable. So we'll actually be reporting on that in the upcoming few days.
All right, Devin Katayama, thanks for joining us live. We're going to hear an interview you did with some JCPS students. And now, as the JCPS students are out for the summer, the last of over 5,000 seniors expected to graduate today, Devin sat down with a few of them to talk about their education, the future, and what they remember most from the past 4 years.
My name is Kelsey Hayden. I went to Southern High School, and I'm going to attend St. Catherine College in the fall.
Does it feel good to say went?
It really does.
Do you remember your first few days of high school and what that was like by any chance?
I guess it was kind of awkward because I would try and talk to people and you don't really know anyone. So they're like, oh, I don't want to talk to you.
We met in freshman year in environmental science class.
This over here is Ernie Barrios. I've known him since freshman year. He's a really cool guy. Valedictorian of Moore High School.
This is my friend Abdullah Jai. He's going to be rooming with me at U of L. He plans on going to study majoring in biology. He stuck scissors into a power outlet and we've fell in love ever since. I don't know what drove him to
do that. Don't even ask. Yeah, I just...
And he's probably top 15 of his class and really smart. But
what'd you get in that class? What grade?
I got an A.
Hi, my name is Terrence Davis. I'm a graduate from Central High School and I've enlisted in the United States Army. I do remember entering high school. I wasn't as serious at first, but once I actually sat down and evaluated myself, I was able to grasp that and use that to guide my way through.
How did that change? What changed within you? Was it the instruction? Was it friends? Was it?
Well, really, my father. Really, he helped get me through high school. Just looking at him and the things that he does and his perseverance really, really inspired me to do the same thing.
How could the district better support students?
I would say more counseling. There's one counselor and there's so many different students. So, you know, not every student is going to approach that counselor with the issue that they might have. I think they're not really more counseling, just more counselors, rather, to, you know, to pinpoint the students. Maybe a minority counselor, maybe a male counselor, female counselor for specific groups.
I think we should have better college prepared classes. Get us like what it's going to feel like when we're in college, like the note taking and the studying and all that.
Do you feel prepared yourself for college?
Yeah, I mean, I consider myself a hard worker, so I feel like I'm going to study and I'm going to take these notes because that's what my mindset is on.
Honestly, I come from a country where there's no support, and I come from Cuba. So it really has, I really do appreciate what JCBS has given me, honestly.
Yeah, we don't need anyone to make us successful. That's just the support for it. I think we are in a perfect position to do whatever we want to do. Where this country has given us free education, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to be successful.
What do you think your generation's biggest challenge is?
Putting the cell phone down. Generation's biggest challenge is putting the cell phone down because you won't check your online classes or whatever, but you'll check a Facebook or a Twitter, you know what I'm saying, in a heartbeat.
Staying motivated, not sleeping all the time. We depend on technology a lot for everything, and instead of going down the street and saying hey to someone, instead we just pick up our phone and, oh, hey.
I think our generation's biggest challenge is overcoming technology and keeping it from making us lazy, a lazy society.
Do you agree with that?
I agree with that perfectly. If you look at the past generations, like, they have accomplished so much. They wasn't as lazy as us. They studied and put a lot of work into it, and that's why we are where we are right now. If you look at it now, a lot of kids don't study. They stay on Facebook or play outside and
text
stuff like
each
that.
Other. Yes.
Yeah.
My favorite memory of Central High School probably had to be graduation. That probably had to be my best memory.
What was that like?
It was dynamic. It really was. I teared up, and I really didn't think that I would, but I ended up shedding a tear, and it meant a lot to me, especially when I seen my name on that diploma.
It was so weird. I felt like I was like in a dream or something because we're walking down the aisle, and, you know, I've seen other people do it, but I was just like, this is me walking down here. This is so strange. I thought it'd be a lot more sad, but, I mean, I'm ready to move on and go do better things.
I was lucky enough to be born here because my parents immigrated from Senegal. That's where I'm originally from. And I know kids that go through every day who have to walk like 10 kilometers just to have education. Any advice that I would give them is just to just try their best. And in the end, whatever you have or whatever you achieve, you're successful because you at least know that you try your best.
It really just depends on how much you push yourself. And then when you fail, just what attitude you get back up with. Life is 50% chance and 50% of what you make it. So I do say, I know a lot of my friends that have had horrible parents and they have chaotic lives at home and no support whatsoever, but they have such a drive and they've succeeded. They've impressed me, actually. I admire them for being able to pull through that because I've had support, but for people who don't have support, I really think it's just all in you.
A conversation with some graduating Jefferson County Public School students. They spoke with WFPL's Devin Katayama. We're going to take a break. Back with more in a moment. This is Byline on WFPL.